online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Sundog, the podcast. You are listening to episode number 2. On the show, we take an entertaining look at the news, trends, and best practices surrounding the worlds of internet marketing, web 2.0 development, and the worlds of traditional media. And then we're going to focus on how all of these can tie together to help improve your company's bottom line. I'm Lon Keller. I'm the senior editor and producer here at Sundog. And joining us on the panel today is Jody Frankel. She is our project manager of client services here at Sundog. Hello, Jody.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good.
That's good. I'm going to turn your mic up just a hair here. We also have Ron Lee, Executive Vice President, Client Services.
Good day.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And rounding out the panel today is Eric Dukart. He heads up our Insights and Planning area.
Hello, hello, hello.
How's it going today?
Very good.
Cool. Today on the show, we're going to talk about something that's of most interest to chief marketing officers out there, and that is ROI, return on investment. What is ROI, and why do we care?
Well, this is Ron. First of all, ROI, who cares? You know, it's all about marketing, right? It's all about the creative. That's actually something that I think marketing people brought upon themselves over the past years, and that has been all this focus on the creative and the tactics. And oh, by the way, you mean we have to prove our existence to the bean counters of the corporate world? So, you know, I think this whole notion of ROI, it definitely it's been hot in the past couple of years. It maybe has cooled off a bit. There's been new terminology used called marketing accountability. But more and more, I think people are realizing that there's more science than art now that's being brought to bear on marketing, and the fact that everybody from management to boards to shareholders are demanding accountability for your marketing spend. So from things that we are seeing out there, it definitely is front and center, and it's getting hotter every day.
So the old determination of you can't really determine your results by how many sales you have or how many sales you didn't have just really isn't a decent measurement tool at all.
I don't think so. I think some of the things that are also driving is just kind of this merger of technology and marketing coming together. Now companies have access to data all over the place, whether it's customer data or product information. And now that they have the information, it allows them to be able to start looking at measurement in different ways. I think each company approaches it a little bit different, but marketing wants to know. They want to know what's working, what's not working. From a marketing standpoint, is my message on target? Is the offer that I'm providing working? And a lot of that is coming from the standpoint that customers are demanding it. And now companies now have more information at their hands. The challenge that companies are seeing is how do I start bringing that stuff together and presenting it in a way that people in marketing can understand it.
Now, you mentioned that companies are starting to demand results. The chief operating officers want to know where their marketing dollars are going. I want to jump back a couple of years. There was a study done by the CMO Council in 2004 that said more than 80% of CMOs had no formal system to measure their results in place. You jump ahead to Q1 2006, 75% had nothing in place. Why is there such a slow adoption of this technology?
I think a big driver of that, again, is I think those companies have the data, but they don't have the systems or the reporting capabilities to bring it to light. And I think the biggest challenge that we see in industry is that your technology staff, your IT staff, and your marketing staff don't talk the same language. So what an IT person, the way that they interpret data and look at information is very analytical. And marketing people want to know, if I'm spending $1 million on a marketing campaign and I'm splitting that across multiple different channels, which one's working and which isn't working. And the challenge that companies have, whether you're a large company or a small company, is How do you bring that information in front of a marketing folks so that they can understand it, interpret it, and use it for future campaigns?
I think complicating that too is the fact there's also a language barrier between marketing and finance. I mean, it's typical where the marketing person might say, hey, we're going to generate this strong advertising campaign to drive our top-of-mind awareness. And meanwhile, you've got the finance people going, okay, so what exactly are you going to do to, you know, generate revenue that'll help us hit our earnings targets this month?
Yep, I think they look at it in two different perspectives. And the key is, how do you start to bring that information together? How do you take the same point of information and allow a marketing person to interpret it the way that they need to look at it, and let a finance person be able to look at it so that those two people are talking the same language and your finance officers are willing to give the marketing folks the money they need to do their job?
The tools are there to do this. Is it a matter of that the CMOs just aren't, you know, they're not used to trusting this information that they're getting now?
I think one of the things is, many people who are in the CMO position might be referred to as a traditionalist. They're used to doing things the old-fashioned way. Suddenly, they are thrust into this whole new world of technology and data and finance. And quite frankly, I think many are kind of sinking rather than swimming. In fact, if you look at the average tenure of a chief marketing officer, it averages right around 2 years. In fact, a year ago, studies would say it was probably 22 months. I think right now it might be up to about 26 months, but the average tenure is still fairly short compared to other positions. And I think that's just a sign of the times that people are demanding accountability. Chief marketing officers are trying to figure this out. There's so much change going on within marketing, within finance, within technology, and people are just trying to get their heads around what do I do and how do I get the systems and the processes and the people lined up to help me get there.
How does today's CMO define ROI?
You know, that's interesting. I think if we polled 30 different CMOs, we'd get 30 different answers. I've been in the business for a couple decades, and honestly, many years ago, ROI used to be a successful ad campaign, or if the president saw his or her picture and liked it, or somebody commented on, hey, what a great campaign that was, and that was great ROI. I recently had a client in another company who wanted to spend $100,000 to be in Business Week because one of his top competitors was going to be in there. And for him, ROI was worth spending the $100,000 simply to be next to his competitor. And then in financial services, obviously we're getting much deeper into spelling out exactly what the ROI is for a specific campaign. And more than that, what's the long-term value of that spend? So again, I don't think there's a common definition out there. Granted, there's financial definitions dealing with the, you know, the profitability of a campaign minus the expense divided by the expense, giving you an ROI calculation. But that's too narrow a focus.
I think some of the challenges that that we see with a lot of the people that we work with is that most companies have that information, but they don't know how to pull it together. And I think to Ron's point, it's customized, and it should be customized to every client. Whether you're in a service-based organization, whether you sell product, whether you're B2B, B2C, all those play into what your marketing ROI is going to be. One thing I will say is that there are best practices out there. There are formulas, there are models that should be used when you're putting together your marketing ROI framework. The other thing is that the most important part is looking at it from a trending standpoint, and not looking at it purely from a month-to-month basis, but getting your metrics set and following those metrics over a period of time. Your trends alone will tell you whether or not the campaigns that you're running, the dollars you're spending on marketing, are being effective or not. There's ways that you can, if you have the information at your hand, you can use the standard formula for ROI, which is very important. But if you don't have the data and you don't have the ability to get to your sales information, which is a common thing that we see with clients, the information's there. It's tucked away in a back office system, tough for marketing people to get their hands on it. There are ways that you can, what we call, back into an ROI metric. Most companies out there should have at least a sense for what their profit margin is per product or per service. and the ability to kind of what we call back into that ROI and allow you to figure out when you're spending money on marketing, what's the most you should spend on a certain campaign to still yield the profits that you need. And again, pulling that information together, another key factor in marketing ROI is how willing is a company to put inferred data inside of their ROI model. ROI does not have to be a fixed number that is 100% accurate if the company cannot pull those information together. So what's the willingness of those companies to infer information inside of their formulas?
Another thing to think about too is, you know, everyone wants a positive return on their investment. But when you're talking about ROI for marketing efforts, they're invariably, you're going to get the results that say, hey, these marketing efforts did not work. And in some cases, that information is just as valuable as saying, you know, we did the job and sales are off the charts.
I really do think that that's the key to analyzing your campaigns, your projects, everything down to where you're placing your media and who's responding to those things. Really where the decisions come in is it's not just down to the basis of what type of return it's getting. It's actually down to the point of who's actually seeing these ads, who's responding to it, and then changing your focus once you realize that it's not doing what you thought it would be just because you're taking it from a perspective of, excuse me, from what you think is going to actually happen to actually looking at the data, analyzing it, and actually seeing where it's trending and where it's going. I think what the best part of this is what we call death to the shotgun approach, is that we no longer, from a media perspective, no longer just take our media dollars and put it out there in hopes of getting a return. What we can really do is narrow that focus down to, we know that our age group is 20 to 35 and it's females. And from there, we can really target it a lot better and then watch our returns on those specific areas.
You know, kind of related to that, marketing types have been accused of being weasels. There's a great Dilbert cartoon out there too, where this marketing guy is up there presenting this great presentation and then somebody calls him and he just goes, I just realized I'm a complete fake. I'll be going now. Thank you very much. But back to your point, Lon, about when things go bad, it's having worked on the corporate side, I tell you, there are so many times when marketing people could easily point the finger and say, well, it was all about the media buy, or it was all about the offer wasn't good enough, and we didn't get the support from sales on this. And quite honest, right now, the whole notion of marketing accountability is basically calling BS on any type of excuses and saying, okay, let's learn from what we did and realize, okay, all the intentions were there, it didn't work, what did we learn from that? And even before that is having a sound strategy in place and maybe adopting a pilot test approach as opposed to spending $200,000 on a campaign. Let's spend 20, let's test it for 2 weeks, let's see what works, let's see if the offer is pulling or which offers pull better, make some changes, and then we can go out with quantitative data saying this should suggest now that we will achieve a certain type of conversion.
Mm-hmm. Sundog recently has partnered with Salesforce.com, and I was wondering if you folks could talk about what that is all about and how that's going to benefit the client.
Well, I think one of the big challenges that happens when you look from a marketing and a sales standpoint is how do you start to bring the marketing efforts and the marketing information together with sales information? Your sales process is very geared towards getting leads in, working your leads, and converting those leads. Marketing job is to get the word out, generate that brand awareness. And in a product like Salesforce, or really any other Salesforce automation tool and customer relationship management tool, what it allows you to do is start to bring together in a single area all of your marketing information and how that's driving down to a sale. A lot of the work that we do from a marketing standpoint is we're looking at awareness, we're looking at impression counts, we're looking at how much are we getting the word out. With a product like Salesforce.com, what that allows us now to do is tie that out all the way down to a sale. So it truly is the 360 that people have talked about for years and years. But now with a CRM product and the ability to do the marketing analysis, you'll be able to see an ad that you're running, how many impressions did it generate, how many clicks did it generate, how many leads and then how many sales did it generate.
You mentioned earlier about when you're looking to provide valuable information to a client, it's not one solution fits all. You have to tailor to their needs. So Salesforce will allow us to do that?
Absolutely. There's a number of different tools that we use to basically bring that whole piece together, from web analytics tools to third-party ad serving tools to the big search engines, Google and Yahoo, and the data they provide. The key is now being able to bring all that information together and make it actionable for the marketing folks.
What new tools are you seeing out there now that help you track from a basic web hit to people watching video on the web?
I think there's been a lot of movement in that area just in the past couple weeks with the purchase from Omniture and Visual Science. There's a lot of consolidation happening. I think the key from a tools and a technology standpoint as it relates to marketing ROI is that you're seeing a large shift to web-based applications, or what they call software as a service applications. Companies are starting to move away from the server installed, go out and buy the very expensive license and have an IT staff that has to support that. There's a big movement to companies that are offering products on a subscription basis. They all share data, so you can move information from Google all the way down to your CRM tool. So the big change that we've seen just in the last 3 to 6 months is this movement to what's called software as a service and the consolidation of products that are out on the market. There's new ones always coming, a lot of innovation that's happening right now around marketing ROI and being able to show how effective your marketing campaigns are doing. But it's a changing space every day.
Everyone knows about the traditional media measurement tool from Nielsen, both radio and television. And now they're also getting into the online space. There's a company out there called Video Egg. They use one of Nielsen Net Ratings product called Video Census. And it's just another one of those emerging tools that are helping people to discover who's seeing it, when are they seeing it, and through what avenues.
I think one of the great things about what's happening from a technology and a marketing standpoint is that the technology is giving you the information that you need. You've got a lot of creative folks out there that are coming up and now actually have information that they can use as they start to come up with their creative concepts. I think, as Ron alluded to earlier, I think in just years past, it's been creative folks and marketing folks that are just coming up with ideas that they think are great. That still needs to happen. We still have to have that great creative ingenuity. The nice thing that data and information is bringing to the table is that you can now start to base it on something. As Jody said, you use a much more targeted approach as opposed to a shotgun approach. You can come up with those creative elements and the offers and the messages that are much more tailored to the customers that are most likely to buy your product or service.
Okay. We're just about running out of time here, so we're going to go around the table here once. You guys have any closing thoughts on our topic today?
One thing I'd like to suggest is that as chief marketing officers look out the next couple of years, they're doing their budgeting, and hopefully their tenure will keep them in their position. They need to make friends with the geeks. They need to make friends with finance people. They need to embrace the fact that they need help. Bring a marketing analyst, bring a financial analyst, take somebody out to lunch and get to know, you know, what's going on the technical side. That will help cement and solidify the role of the CMO, which is, you know, seriously under question among board members who are saying, you know, I don't trust what the CMO is saying. So there is hope.
Yep, I agree with Ron too. To the perspective that I think silos need to be broken down within companies, where I think we come in is bringing the technology and the tools to the forefront of how to do that, how to get the marketing to talk to the IT people, how to get them to talk to the salespeople, to get the kind of everything into a closed loop where now when marketing's doing marketing, they're going to the sales and saying, what are you seeing on the front end of this when customers are coming in and the sales are being made? What are they seeing? What are they talking about? Having the sales go back to the marketing and saying, this is what we need and what we're seeing out in front as well, because the tools that are going to be in place in the between is what's really going to close the loop and have that communication going in between.
I think it's very important that the CMO defines their short-term and long-term strategy. As Jody and Ron are saying, a CMO can't do all of it, and they need to go out and get that help. One of the things that they can probably best do to serve their part is to define their strategy. What is it that I want to have happen so that I can go talk to the geeks and I can go talk to the bean counters, and collectively they can come together and define what they're going to do from a measurement standpoint.
Okay, very good. Thanks, everybody. Eric, Ron, Jody, thanks for being with us today. And for the folks listening at home, if you have any questions or comments that you would like to send to us, you can send it via email. The email address is thepodcast@sundog.net. Audio comments are welcome as well. Or you can give us a phone call at 1-888-9-SUNDOG. That's 1-888-978-6364. And if you run across any information or articles you would think would be of interest to us and you would like us to cover on the podcast, we've also set up a Sundog tag in Delicious. And that tag is Sundog the Podcast, all one word. So once again, for Ron, Eric, and Jody, this is Lon Keller. Thanks for joining us once again, everybody, and we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.